from Toronto, Canada, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett.
And away we go. Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come warm yourself by the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. Victor Vigiani, Executive Director of Z-Land Communications and noted UFO disclosure advocate, is standing by. Bob Mitchell, author of notable UFO books as Incident at Pleasant Ridge, a Canadian UFO mystery, Intrusion, Alien Encounters, and his latest, What If? Close Encounters of the Unusual Kind. Well, that's the latest UFO book. There's also a time travel book, and that's for another show. But we will usher in Victor and Bob here momentarily. Ian Robertson is here on the other side of the glass, twisting the knobs and dials. And Albert, of course, is here running our HOA. That's Hangout on Air. And if you want to live stream this radio program on YouTube, just go to my Twitter feed, at Richard Serrett, S as in Simon, Y-R-E-T-T, at Richard Serrett, and then you go to the top or near the top of the Twitter feed, and you'll see a tweet with an H-O-A, capital H-O-A. Just click on it. Nothing could be simpler. And that will get you into the live stream. And it's a great night to stream us on YouTube, because we actually have some bodies here in the studio, and you don't just have to look at my ginormous head all night. We've got company. All right, so we're all on our best behavior, including you, Albert. A great event last night at the University of Toronto with David Politis, author of the Missing 411 series of books. You've heard him on Coast to Coast with George Knapp umpteen times about all of these. Not just strange, I mean disturbing disturbances, clusters of disappearances in the national park systems, for example, other places too, but the national park systems primarily. And I got to tell you, all those in attendance at the J.J.R. McLeod Auditorium last night were on the edge of their seat, and I don't know if any of them will go camping again. That's all I'm going to tell you about that. But it was an amazing presentation. And as I say, it was so disturbing and so creepy. In fact, Albert Vinzel, my producer, refused to go. I mean, you get free tickets, Albert, to these events, and he said, no, I'm not going. This one is a little too creepy. Now, having said that, get on up to the live events page at strangeplanet.ca, and you'll notice there's another live event next in line there, just below last night's event, and I'm going to be participating in this one. It's June 24th, 25th, and 26th. In my old stomping grounds, the Telephone City, Brantford, Ontario, just about an hour plus down the 403. And it's called the Alien Cosmic Expo. Now, let me give you a brief sort of synopsis. Friday, there is an experiencers forum, if you will, for all of those who have stories to tell and share about their UFO ET encounters. That's on the Friday. Also on the Friday, there is a screening of a brand new documentary film about Travis Walton, the arguably one of the most celebrated alien abductees. You know, you've got Betty and Barney Hill, and then you've got Travis Walton. So the screening of that film, which I believe is directed by Jennifer Stein, and she's done a lot of great work in with crop circles and so forth. So that's on the Friday. And then on the Saturday, this is where I come in. I've been asked, and I'm honored to do so, to moderate an ET disclosure hearing, and it's going to feature a veritable who's who in the UFO disclosure research field, including Richard Dolan, Nick Pope, Stanton Friedman, Grant Cameron, the Honorable Paul Hellyer, the aforementioned Travis Walton, and the two gentlemen that join me here tonight, Victor Vigiani and Bob Mitchell. And they'll be squaring off against a panel of skeptical journalists. And in many ways, this is going to mirror the UFO disclosure hearings that happened down in Washington, D.C. several years ago. But instead of former members of the House of Representatives or former congressmen, we'll have these skeptical journalists, and they'll be asking questions. Anyway, I'll be moderating that. And again, that's on Saturday the 25th. All right. So we're going to talk about the Alien Cosmic Expo. We'll talk about disclosure and the mainstream media and their handling of this whole issue over the next 40 minutes or so. So we'll, having said that, Bob Mitchell is here. He's a Canadian author, journalist. He covered crime and sports for the Toronto Star for more than 35 years. He's the author of 7 books. Actually, it's 8, I believe. Now it's 8. And he's writing one right now as I speak, so before the, it might be 9. Bob's books include, as I mentioned earlier, Incident at Pleasant Ridge, A Canadian UFO Mystery, Intrusion Alien Encounters, What If? Close Encounters of the Unusual Kind. He's an executive with MUFON Canada. His other books include The Class Project, How to Kill a Mother, a story of Canada's infamous bathtub girls, which was turned into the Perfect Sisters motion picture starring Abigail Breslin and others. He's the author of the true crime book, Deadly Defiance, the story of Canadian honor killing, and In Plain Sight Before 9/11, the story of an American black militant who was on the run for 30 years after pulling off the only successful airplane hijacking in Canadian history. Wow, what an incredible and varied career. He also continues to be a freelance journalist and media consultant. And as I said, he will be on that panel at the AC Alien Cosmic Expo coming up in June. And Bob, welcome to The Conspiracy Show.
My pleasure being here, Richard.
And my pleasure. And we're going to have you back. I think, you and Albert will talk, but I think we're having you back
July
in July.
17th,
July 17th.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll talk time travel, which is, you know, one of my favorite topics.
Right.
And the gentleman seated to your right needs no introduction, so I won't bother. Let's just, you and I will talk.
Okay.
How's that, Bob?
Good with me.
Victor Vigiani.
I have lots to say.
Victor's research and analysis of anomalous aerial phenomenon spans over 30 years. His experience involves UFO sightings report investigation, counseling work with individuals reporting anomalous experiences, presentations, and journalism in the field of ET disclosure issues. Extensive UFO research has been completed throughout the southwestern USA in locations such as Groom Lake, Nevada, Corona, Roswell, the Very Large Array Telescope, White Sands, Los Alamos, on and on it goes, northeastern Australia. He has been everywhere, man. His published work includes Area 51, A Desert Journey, Alien Abduction Symposium, and a review of Alien Abduction Dialogue between Dr. John Mack and Bud Hopkins, Disclosure, A Terrestrial Imperative, a series of professional articles in educational journals on student discipline, classroom management, teacher supervision, and curriculum development. And, of course, he is the news director for Z-Land Communications. Victor, hello, how are you?
Just fine. And who are you talking about, really?
I'm out of breath listening to that.
Wasn't this how we rehearsed it?
We rehearsed it. Yeah, that's all done very well. Great to be here.
My pleasure. All right, so let's talk about June 25th, because that's the evening that we're the afternoon that we're all involved with, mm-hmm. and this is the UFO disclosure hearing. And I mentioned the sort of the parallel between what's going to happen on that Saturday, the mm-hmm. 25th of June, and what happened in Washington. Let's dial back to what happened in Washington, and this was sort of Stephen Bassett's initiative, this, you know, the public inquiry into the UFO ET issue.
Well, I was there for all 5 days, and Stephen and the people that organized it were very committed to make sure that a mock hearing of some type happened. And actually, when Steve was up in 2005, when Paul Hillier came forward, Mr. Bassett was one of the key keynote speakers there. And he and I, during the 3 or 4 days that he was in Toronto, he stayed at my place, and he said, you know what, one day, I'm going to have a congressional hearing. And this is like back in 2005.
Right.
And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, we just need, if the government's not going to do it, maybe we should do it. And so he's been throwing around that idea for about 7 or 8 years before he actually pulled it off. And it did come to fruition over 5 days in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club. And it was an amazing event, an absolutely stunning event. A huge room, the same room that John F. Kennedy and Eisenhower spoke to the press at. And so he really put forward a riveting experience. And being there all 5 days, you get to see these people stand up and give their testimony under oath before six former members of Congress and one senator, Mike Gravel. It was an experience that I'll never, ever forget. And so I threw around an idea in my own head. I said, well, you know, maybe we need another approach. First of all, it has to be someplace else other than the United States. Because the brick wall media there, the glass ceiling that exists there is just almost impenetrable. And Steve did his best to get press coverage, but it really didn't happen the way he wanted it to.
The expectation was that this was going to push the needle in terms of disclosure.
Right.
And after these slack-jawed former members of Congress were sitting around catching flies, this was supposed to be it, right? The Washington Post and the New York Times were supposed to jump on board and blow this thing wide open. Yeah. And it never happened.
Didn't happen. He got some coverage, and it was good. But it didn't, like you say, you know, it didn't blow the lid off things. What we're trying to do, what Bob and I are attempting to do, is bring together some journalists to challenge, skeptical journalists to challenge what we feel are six or seven of the top people on the planet on all the whole range of issues that each one of these experts has. And if we can get the right questions asked by these journalists, A, that's the first sort of direction we're going, and then B, to get them to actually write about it, get it into the newspapers, get it into the mainstream, and do something about it in a concrete way to challenge the government. He said, listen, you know, we want answers about this. So we feel going through journalists and journalism and the mainstream media the way we are, we've already got one for sure mainstream media person on the panel and others too. And we feel that that is the best way to go about this in terms of getting the information. And we've already had two or three articles written to this point already. What is this with 24th to 25th of May?
Right.
So it's heading in the right direction, and we think this is the way to go.
All right. We're heading into a break, Bob, but let me just ask you. I mean, we'll pick this up on the other side, but let's start the conversation now. You toiled in the vineyards of mainstream journalism for many, many years.
Many years.
A crime writer, a sports writer. What's wrong with your colleagues in the mainstream media? Why don't they get it?
Well, you know, I think they won't get it until somebody stands up who is somebody outside the realm of UFOs. Somebody like Paul Hellyer stood up, but he stood up as a former defense minister. It's going to take somebody who's in the government right now to stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to wake up. We've been lying to you all these times. There is an alien presence on Earth. It has been here for decades, and this is what's going on. Until somebody like that stands up, I think, you know, even our alien ET hearing, we'll get coverage that day, but after that weekend, it'll just go away again until something else happens. That's the unfortunate part. And we can talk about that after the break.
And we shall. Bob Mitchell, Victor Vigiani, we're talking the Alien Cosmic Expo, disclosure, and what the heck is wrong with the mainstream media. Back with more in a moment.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett.
Welcome back to The Conspiracy Show. Bob Mitchell, author, journalist, UFO disclosure advocate, and Victor Vigiani, likewise, UFO disclosure advocate, both panelists at the upcoming Alien Cosmic Expo in Brantford, June 24, 25, 26. Now, here's, we were talking about the mainstream media and their reluctance to weigh in or to wade into the reeds, if you will. But occasionally, the story sort of breaks through that glass ceiling. Here's one from the Toronto Sun on Monday, May 16th. The truth about UFOs is out there. Toronto, UFO buffs will be over the moon if Democrat Hillary Clinton is elected the next U.S. president. Clinton has said that as long as national security isn't compromised, she would be open to declassifying files. These would include documents from Area 51, the Nevada U.S. Air Force base considered by UFO believers to be the high temple of secret UFO activity. It's a fairly short article, and it goes on and mentions some of the panelists, including Grant Cameron and Stanton Friedman, who will be part of the Alien Cosmic Expo. And noticeably absent from the article, as far as I can tell, is sarcasm, actually, which is kind of, I guess, a bit of a sea change. Bob Mitchell,
yeah.
We were talking earlier about what is it going to take to get the mainstream media on board. And here we have, who's responsible for getting Kevin Connor? That would be you, Victor. How did you convince him to write this?
It was just a cold call. We sent out, it's either Bob or myself, connected one way or another with all the journalists.
Hundreds of emails.
So, I was sitting working one day and I got an email, Mr. Vigiani, we'd like to talk to you about, this, I'm from the Toronto Sun, so forth. And, I said, yeah, sure, call me. And within 15 minutes, he was on the phone. We chatted for about 45 minutes, actually. Mm-hmm. Quite a lengthy interview. And he said, well, what I need to do is talk to some of the panelists.
Right.
So I gave him the information about Stanton. I gave everybody name to Kevin. And within, I guess, a week and a half or so, he had the courage to write what I felt was an extremely articulate and positive article about what we're doing, why we're doing it, and all the reasons behind the substructure of media starting to percolate forward in this one article.
Right. But Bob, there'll be no follow-up.
I suspect there might be another story in the Star or the Sun or the Globe before the event happens. And I'm hoping that they'll also come and cover that day.
Sure.
Journalism has changed. Newspapers have changed. Even in the 3 years that I haven't been there, there's less staff now. There's skeleton staff on the weekend. And so unless something earth-shattering happens, they don't have anybody to send out to these things. So we're hoping that Saturday is one of those really slow days that there's somebody that can come. If we get, we're going to have a panelist from the Toronto Sun, so I would be shocked if there wasn't a story the next day on this. If we get some coverage on, local television, national television, CTV, CBC, I think the newspapers will take their cue from them. They're saying, well, if they're covering it, we must cover it. We don't want to be left out of the loop.
Right.
But one of the things I wanted to say about the Washington one compared to this, they didn't get the press that they wanted. I didn't have the privilege of being there, but I've seen some of the clips and the videos that were from there. And the key word is mock. That was a mock conference, right? It wasn't. It was real people, but
right.
They were doing something mock. Ours is different. This is a real news conference, a real chance for journalists everywhere. I mean, we're inviting people from Europe, too, if they want to come here. This is their opportunity to question seven of the world's foremost experts on this phenomenon.
And you're looking for skeptics. You don't want people that are on sides.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want people that are already writing UFO magazines
right.
or UFO stories. We want people that
to give you the high hard one.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm sure they're going to be asking well, give us something that we can really make us believe that the aliens do exist. And that'll be up to the panelists to come up with some unique way to do that because, the way I look at it is that unless you've experienced it yourself, it's very hard for you to let your rational mind wrap around the whole situation. Except from the people that I've talked to for all my books and the book that I just wrote with Jason Quitt and also a book that we're writing together now that I can't really talk about. But from what information I'm learning, this world really isn't the world we think it is, from a political
standpoint,
from any kind whatsoever. And a lot of people will think, well, that's just crazy talk. But it isn't. The government has been hiding secrets for years. And perhaps they have really good reasons to do that. But I think in this day and age that people now are over Roswell. I mean, I think most people believe Roswell happened. It was 60 years ago now, or maybe more than that, 47 mm-hmm. 70 years almost. And why not just say it happened? Why keep lying to people and all these things? It just makes no sense to me now.
What is it with journalists? People always say to me, oh, did someone tell you not to talk about this? It's never happened. It's not overt like that.
No.
And I'm wondering, how does it work at a major newspaper? Or is it, does it, is it a cultural bias that journalists have? They know, you know, it's I have to put my kids through school. I've got car payments to make. I'm not going to make myself look like a fool. I'm not going there.
Well, I don't think it goes that far in that sense, because if you're assigned to cover an event, you're going to cover that event. So it's not like you believe or don't believe. You're supposed to be objective. So if you're a columnist, that's something different. But the people that were covering this event, they're just covering it as an event. But I would bet you anything that of, I don't know how many journalists are still working in Toronto these days, but let's just say there's still 100. At one time there was 100 at the start, but I mean, I think there's probably a lot less now. But say there's 100 mainstream journalists working here. I would bet you that at least 10% of them have had some kind of experience that they can't figure out what happened. They might think it's a dream. They have never told anybody about it, and they feel kind of ridiculous to tell somebody. So they hide it. They keep it to them. And I would say another 10% probably absolutely believes in all this stuff. They watch every show on TV, from Ancient Aliens to your show when it's on to Hangar One. And reading all these books, but they don't let anybody know because it's a taboo subject. And they probably are just dying to be assigned this assignment to come and cover it. But they're not going to go up to their editors and say, hey, I believe in all this stuff, because you're supposed to be objective. So I think it's a cultural bias that way. But as I said, if Hillary comes out and does say, Area 51 has had alien technology, we've used it to create all the stuff we've done, that'll be the game changer. That'll change everything.
It would be, except she gave herself an enormous out by saying, if it doesn't compromise national security, well, of course it would compromise national
security. It's absolutely going to. And the other thing is, do we really believe that, even if she goes that far to say that there is aliens out there, do you really think she is going to give the goods up? Like, whatever she says, or whoever gets elected, if they say anything, they're never going to tell us the truth.
No, she's pandering. She's simply pandering.
Yeah, and you know, she is not in control anyways. There's somebody always controlling her. So,
let's talk about the makeup of the panel on the 25th, and these journalists are going to square off against a world-class historian, for example, like Richard Dolan, who was, for all intents and purposes, a Rhodes Scholar. Mm-hmm. I think he missed it by that much, as Don Adams used to say on Get Smart. Mm-hmm. What is Dolan going to offer up to these journalists, do you think?
Well, I just finished sending an email to all of the panelists, each one, individually and as a group. And I asked them, in addition to what your own particular area of expertise is, in terms of what you feel you want to talk about, I'd like you to, you know, as one of the adjudicators at the hearing, I'd like you to focus in on these two things. And for each of the panelists, I asked Stanton Friedman to do this and this, and then Grant Cameron to do this and this. For Richard, knowing what he has been through, written those two volumes, UFOs
in the National Security State,
volumes 1 and 2, his background is just immeasurably comprehensive. I mean, this man is a walking encyclopedia. He's a data disk with, you know, 35 billion, whatever the, however big those things are these days. Oh. Yeah, it just is the way he operates. Now, what I want him to do is I want him to do two things. I want him to talk about secrecy, and he has a very good perception of why and how deep the secrecy goes. Second of all, I want him to address the nuclear shutdown issue.
Right.
Okay. Those are the two things that I've asked him to talk about. And I know I've talked to him personally. He says, Victor, we'll do a fine job on that. Because I want these journalists to understand, not just the ones on the panel, mm-hmm. I want the people that are listening in the audience who are journalists and the ones that are covering it on TV to understand through Richard's eyes and his understanding of this nuke issue that the skies over the United States are not under the control that the people think they are. These UFOs, or whatever you want to call them, can compromise nuclear missiles at the drop of a hat, or just by being around these nuclear installations. They can shut these things down 20, 30, 40, 50 at a time. Now, does the Pentagon know that? That's news. That is news. If the Pentagon knows these things can do that, that is news. And any journalist worth their salt would be an idiot not to follow up on a story like that. That's why I want Richard to capture the nuke event and the whole issue of how nuclear arsenals are shut down by these things. That's a big, big story.
But didn't it was Bob Hastings, right?
Who Robert Hastings?
Yeah. Robert Hastings had that press conference at the Washington Press Club.
Yeah. And he has a movie out now, too, about this, a brand new movie. Apparently it's a blockbuster. But anyways, go ahead.
And I mean, he had these military people lined up who said exactly that, you know, UFO incursion over Maelstrom Air Force Base or wherever, shut down our nukes. Mm-hmm. That was streamed on CNN, I think, on their website.
Yeah.
But nothing.
But well, it's funny because
there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. That happened in the United States. This is happening here.
Yeah.
And I've always believed, and I've told this to Mr. Bassett, he and I have this kind of this banter back and forth. I said, the media up here in Canada is much more amorphous, much, much more amorphous than the ones in the States. It's a you know, behemoth down there. Up here, we're a little bit more, I don't know, easygoing with it. We're still strident. We still have many of the issues that you talk about. But through our media, this could be the conduit through which the Hillary Clinton issue and this nuclear shutdown issue could come through north of the 49th parallel. And I've always believed that if we are going to go through some disclosure process, it's going to happen here in Canada. And that's why I'm doing this.
Bob, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say that the Canadian media is a little different than the American media. In one sense, is everything is far more secretive here than in the United States. Especially with, well, I learned that in crime, that it's much harder to be a crime reporter in Canada than it is in the United States.
Because well, impossible now because you can't listen to the police scanner.
Yeah, you can't listen. Well, but you don't get any information. In the United States, as soon as somebody gets arrested, it's on Nancy Grace, and they've convicted him before 6 months before they go to trial. I don't know how anybody ever gets a fair trial. But it's the same with everything in there. Everything is public. Well, everything they want you to give is public, I guess, unless it's national security. But sometimes even that doesn't matter. But there's so much information that comes out of there. The Maelstrom thing, I mean, that's a big story. Yet the mainstream media in the United States, after one day, just forgets it and go on to something else. Because it's Bob Hastings talking about it, not the head of defense, the national defense, whatever they call it in the States.
They remain silent about it.
And I think what's happened over the last few years, even from 2013, it's only been 3 years, but I think there's a more, there's an acceptance more of the fact that aliens do exist. There's so many shows out there. People are being indoctrinated on the History Channel. Every time you turn it on, there's something to do with aliens. And I think it's more and more people are now, I think, saying, hey, you know, this is, there's something real here. When I was writing the first two books, The Intrusion, Alien Encounters, and I had people in that book who had these secrets all their lives, had never told anybody in their entire life other than maybe their close friend or their husband. And even that, some of them kept some of the secrets. Yet, at some point when they met me for some reason, they felt comfortable enough to talk to me about it. And after they opened up their story to me, they felt a tremendous burden that was lifted off their shoulders. Almost every single person had almost a metamorphosis. They became a different person. They were, instead of being an introvert, they were now extroverts. And I think, you know, there's millions of people out there with the same experiences that are just dying to tell somebody something or trying to realize maybe I'm not crazy. And when people like Richard Dolan, who has such a high educational background, comes out and says, this is what's happening, people need to listen to him.
One would hope. All right, we will take a time out. Bob Mitchell and Victor Vigiani will be part of the Alien Cosmic Expo UFO Disclosure Hearing happening June 24th, 25th, 26th. Back with more. Stay with us.
Providing the evidence and letting you draw your own conclusion. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarin.
Welcome back. Bob Mitchell is in studio, UFO disclosure advocate, and Victor Vigiani, executive director of Z-Land Communications, and we are talking about what else? UFO disclosure. All right, so we talked about Richard Dolan and what he's going to offer up. The Honorable Paul Hellyer. You know, it's interesting. Here is a man who was a heartbeat away from being the prime minister. He was a deputy prime minister under Trudeau. He was the defense minister under Lester B. Pearson, and
took a huge step forward in 2005, Victor, largely, mainly thanks to your efforts. Mm-hmm. You convinced him to go public at the University of Toronto, and he said UFOs are as real as the planes flying over our head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these days, he's not getting the respect, let's face it, in the mainstream media.
No.
Oh, Paul Hellyer, he's in his 90s. You know, you can almost hear the derision and the sarcasm, which is really mm-hmm. tragic.
Which is why I said we need to have somebody like him that is still in the government to
right.
do this, because the government right now can sit back and say, well, it's just Paul, you know, that's all. And but he's still a draw. And people,
absolutely, he is.
And people will still want to talk to him at the Alien Cosmic Expo.
Well, the people get it, right? Mm-hmm. But the journalists are behind the curve as usual.
Yeah. I can tell you something that, and I'm not sure if I'm breaking confidence or not. I don't think that I am. But I will tell you that I'm thinking it was about 3 years after, in 2008 or 2009, Paul and I spoke. I said, what are we going to do about this? And I said, well, we've got to get it in front of a committee of some kind. He said, well, what about the Senate Committee on National Defense, where my friend, Senator Colin Kenny, is the chair? I said, mm-hmm. Well, yeah. He said, what if I spoke to him? So Paul went to Ottawa and sat down and spoke with the chairman of the Senate Committee on National Defense and Security. And at that time, Colin Kenny told the Honorable Paul Hellyer that this story is too big.
He said that.
He
That's
said
a quote.
That. That's a quote. Take that to the bank. He said, this story is too big for us.
Wow.
Tick, 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 yeah. tick.
And they want the United States to get the lead on it.
And the thing is, if a senator and a chairman of a committee like that says something like that, it represents a certain kind of mindset that's, you mentioned this sort of this cultural bias. It's a political bias on his part to say, listen, if we start dipping our toe in that ink, we will never, ever be able to shed that stain. So we have to be very careful about what we talk about and how deeply we go into these issues, because it is a national security issue. And how deeply can you go to talk about extraterrestrials mm-hmm. before you blow the lid on this whole darn thing? And the press is invading Parliament Hill saying that a senator chairman of a defense committee is talking about extraterrestrials. I mean, do we want that? Now, I don't know who would have been in government at the time. I'm thinking it was about 3 or 4 years after, let's say 2008, 2009.
That would have been Harper. That would have been the conservative government.
There you go. Maybe that answers your question, or my question. But I raise the issue because, you know, your point is a good one. Someone like that, of that stature, needs to stand up and say, well, I don't necessarily believe in all this stuff, but at least we have to start talking about it. Let's just remove the veil and say, see what's there. That's all we're asking.
Bob, what are you going to talk about on the panel?
I don't know. At the moment, I thought I was basically just going to be there to lend a hand, and I wasn't planning on actually giving my my sense of what happens. But I'm quite prepared to do it, and I think from my point of view, I would be telling them some of the cases that I interviewed, and the people that came to me with experiences they couldn't explain, that were extremely emotional, that I never once thought they were making it up. And variety of different kinds of experiences, not just one experience that they see all the time. And most of them were never really into UFOs or aliens or anything. So from the people that I've talked to, I know there's something going on. They know there's something going on. And even if you don't believe them, they don't care anymore. They've got it off their chest. They now are out there. They absolutely want everybody to come out like they have. And the more people that come out, the more the governments are not going to be able to just, you know, pass it off. I wonder what Trudeau's thought on this whole thing is. I mean, I don't think anybody ever asked him on the campaign trail. And I've never read or heard anything, him even talking about the subject. It'd be interesting if somebody in Parliament would ask him during, you know, one of their question period point.
He'd probably just take off his shirt.
Yeah, elbow somebody.
All right.
But, one thing I wanted to say is that...
Save it. We'll pick that up on the other side, Bob. Bob Mitchell in studio, Victor Vigiani, back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
Take a look around. What do you really see? This is where you can tell all about it. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett.
Welcome back, Bob Mitchell. Victor Vigiani in studio. We were talking about UFO disclosure and, of course, the big alien cosmic expo happening in Brantford, June 24, 25, 26, and a UFO disclosure hearing on the 25th. And I will be moderating a panel, and that panel will include, once again, Richard Dolan, Nick Pope, Stephen Bassett, the Honorable Paul Hellyer, Travis Walton, Grant Cameron, and others. Victor Vigiani and Bob Mitchell will be there as well. We were talking about sort of the progression in terms of the treatment of the mainstream media, and we're now in a very interesting time where we have people like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton going on shows like Jimmy Kimmel Live and kind of hinting at it, kind of joking. And Jimmy Kimmel seems genuinely interested,
yeah,
within the confines of a comedy show, but still. And you get that kind of that teasing kind of response, mm-hmm, from people like Clinton and Hillary, but nothing really authentic.
You need Anderson Cooper to sit down with her and ask all those questions. You need Geraldo Rivera to sit down for Fox and do the same thing.
Right, but what's the game there? What's the thinking? Like, is that, I mean, because you know what? Those shows are so scripted.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put anything on those question cards that doesn't get approval from the guests. So is this some, are they doing kind of an end run? Because they're not going to answer those questions at a press conference at the White House, but.
It sounds like they are to me. I don't know what their end game is, other than that they've said it, and now they can say, "Well, you know, I was just making fun." But in reality, they've said it, something that they normally would never have said, especially during an election year, I would have thought. But
I think it's part of the process, mm-hmm, of who's in control here,
mm-hmm,
and I think the whole control angle has to be looked at in several different ways. The one big way is, of course, the media, as you mentioned, CBS, NBC, and ABC. I mean, those are the three points of control as to where this information goes or doesn't go in terms of the media. You'll also notice that until last week, this hasn't been mentioned within the White House, other than Sarah McClelland talking to Bill Clinton back about UFOs during his tenure,
right,
very, very quickly, and you know, everybody laughed it off. What's happening here is that you will notice that the Pentagon is mum on this. All the high-level military people, they know what's coming and going on a daily basis. You know, the fast walkers, they know these things. NORAD knows it. They track them on the bloody radar, for crying out loud, every day.
Mm-hmm.
They know this. Until you get, and you know, Bob's words earlier, until you get someone of substance saying something about this, if the Pentagon were to even whisper the word or the acronym UFO in a public forum, all hell would break loose. So I think, you know, what you're talking about is it's allowed to percolate at a certain level on the Jimmy Kimmel Show or wherever else, even CNN. It's allowed to percolate, but it's never able to pierce that glass ceiling. And that's why I've always alluded to that.
And what'll happen when it does pierce the glass ceiling is that it won't come from directly from a senator or a governor or whoever in the, mm-hmm, government. It'll come through one of his people leaking a source to some reporter who said, you can't use my name, you can't do this, but this is what's happened. You can write it. We'll deny it, but you can write it and take it to the bank. And then it'll be up to the editors whether to go with, because they're going to want to see proof, and it'll be back and forth. But speaking of newspapers and mainstream journalists, every newspaper every major newspaper in Canada, I'm sure it's in the United States, the same thing, they have an investigative team that they spend 6 months on one topic, whether it's investigating a pizza outlet or a conglomerate or something. Isn't it about time that a Canadian newspaper put a team on this subject?
Maybe there is.
Well past time. But now with the New York Times coming out with articles and Hillary hinting it, you know, Canada has to be in the loop somewhere. There's got to be things that our government is hiding that a good journalist will be able to, find out.
That's where NORAD comes in.
And let me put a challenge out to Michael Cook in the Toronto Star right now. Is he editor? Go for it, Michael. be the first major newspaper to do an investigation
and find out what happened. That's a great thing that you mentioned, because I always go back to the Watergate thing. Mm-hmm. I always, for some reason, the reason I do that is because of Stanton Friedman, mm-hmm. His whole image of the cosmic Watergate. When this thing breaks, it's going to break in a very, very similar way, because the way Catherine Graham and Ed Bradley, Ben Bradley, the way they really had this angst about, should we do this or should we not do this? I mean, this is the President of the United States. We can't be doing this. But, mm-hmm. And then Woodward and Bernstein got all the information. They didn't know whether to go with it or not. And they tossed this thing back and forth for weeks, maybe even months before. I'm not sure the chronology of it. But they really had a difficult time deciding, yep, we're going to do this. Now, I'm wondering if there's people sitting in the editorial rooms at the New York Times as we speak asking that same question. Should we go forward on this at all? Should we talk to Mr. Podesta and see what he really knows? Mm-hmm. Do we want to find out if there is, in fact, government documents about this stuff? What does NORAD know about this? What's a fast walker? What is really going on at Area 51? What about Los Alamos?
Mm-hmm. I hate to be skeptical. Do we have anyone of Ben Bradley's substance up here running newspapers? And secondly, aren't they all just managing the decline? I mean,
that's true. Yeah. That's true.
But this could
be. They do have separate departments that just do investigations.
But if I was going to run a newspaper, first thing I would do, because listen, they're all just chasing their tails, mm-hmm. and they're watching their subscribers go down, 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 down. Their advertisers go down, 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 down. If they were serious about turning things around,
your
first
point.
Thing you do, you put the sports in the front section and the astrology in the front section,
absolutely.
And you have a UFO beat.
And in fact, I was told that any time there's a story about UFOs or aliens in a major newspaper,
sure.
circulation goes up, views on the internet goes up for that day.
The O'Hare incident on the Tribune website, the number one downloaded story in the history of the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, yeah.
But your interview with on TV, who interviewed you on TV that time?
Oh, on CTV.
On CTV?
Yes.
You looked into the camera and said, do you guys know why your ratings are falling? Mm-hmm. You're not covering stories of substance. You said it.
And that's why I won't be on there again.
well, you never
One
know.
Last parting shot.
Well, you hit the nail right in the head when you said that.
Well, yes, and I joked, but it was National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Yeah.
And that got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But would you think that if Bob's point about newspapers going this way with UFOs and their readership going up,
of course,
let us suppose that the Toronto Star, for example, if they got one of their major, Kevin Donovan, for example,
Kevin
could do this in a snap of the fingers. Yeah. You know what he's done, and Kevin, if you're listening, my friend and my brother, listen carefully here, okay? I've sent him everything from day one on this stuff. I'm talking years now. He's written me back and say, stop sending me this information. Just take me off your list.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened to intellectual curiosity?
Well, there you go. I mean, if Kevin wants to be a Pulitzer Prize winner or something of that ilk here in Canada, he has the capacity to do that because he's got all the information and he's got the skills to do it. And so does Jim Coyle. Jim does. Jim attended the
Masters.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it was... this could be a conscious decision by upper level management. So just cool your jets here. If we go too far, we could get stomped
on.
But
I want to send my kids to Upper Canada College.
Yeah, that's right.
But the only two papers that are going to be able to do it is the Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star. I think if they're going to really do it right.
Mm. I agree.
There's nobody else in Canada that could do it right.
But okay, let's say you get a front. I don't want to be the naysayer here. Let's say you get that front page story, and maybe you even get a follow up.
What then?
The public already is the majority of us are already cognizant of this. We're already on board.
Okay.
Where does it go from there?
Okay. Well, the ones that aren't will now see it's legitimate.
Okay,
it's legitimate because the Toronto Star had written about it.
But it's got to go someplace, though, Bob. And you know where it's going to go? It's going to go in a couple of different directions. Number one, national security.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's going to affect national security. Why? It's going to tell us that, in fact, we can't control our own airspace. That's the number one thing. Now, the general public may not care about that. They may not. But, a lot of people in the States will. Mm-hmm. Number two, if this energy issue comes out, if the energy issue embedded in this whole UFO, ET, extraterrestrial, off-world contact, if the energy issue comes forward to make it clear that whatever these UFOs have as a propulsion system, as I said in this radio program before, they don't stop off at Jupiter to fill up with SO gas. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a propulsion system, an energy source that's free and the most powerful system in the universe. And if we can embed that into our own technologies here, which we think some people already have done, mm-hmm. that will eliminate the use of fossil fuels. And if that story comes out, you mean to tell me there's an energy source that will replace and working models that will replace fossil fuels? Yes. This is what all the documentation is telling us. So this is where else it could go. These are the things that once the
it'll
media...
go to the government's going to have to answer it in the House of Commons.
And then there's the big question is, you know, answered, we're not alone.
Yeah.
Back to the panel on the 25th. Grant Cameron,
okay.
presidentialufo.com. Has scoured the presidential libraries. Some amazing revelatory things have come out regarding past presidents and UFOs and so forth. What's Grant going to be hammering away at?
I've asked Grant to very specifically look at the Rockefeller letters and explain, A, how he went about his literally hundreds of FOIA requests as a Canadian requesting this information from the Clinton Library. And my understanding, I've heard numbers of 400 to 500 letters, and maybe even more.
This was Lawrence Rockefeller, kind of the black sheep of the Rockefeller family, communicating with the Clinton White House,
saying,
you know, we need to push for disclosure.
That's right. He covered that whole base very, very well. He discovered all of the letters initiated by Lawrence S. Rockefeller, first of all, to Dr. Jack Gibbons, the scientific advisor to the president. And he said, Dr. Gibbons, Jack, they knew each other. We need to talk to the president about UFO secrecy. It's time to come out and talk about all this stuff. And then the letter started going, rolling. And even Hillary Clinton was involved in the letter as the first lady. Okay, and you've got a number of other people. This stuff has involved Carl Sagan, Billy Graham. Billy Graham was asked to be part of this whole committee to look at, and he said no. So you've got this situation where inside the White House between 1993 and 96, all these letters are fomenting and crossing everybody's desk. And that's what I want Grant to talk about. It was inside the White House from 93 to 96.
You see, that alone should have some journalists.
Right.
Hopefully armed with a little, just a modicum of intellectual curiosity.
Because it's not Gomer just down in the corner gas station talking about this. These are actually high-level people with the eye to the president.
Victor Vigiani, Zeeland Communications, thank you. Give us a website.
Just Google Zeeland Communications and you'll get there.
I'm Bob Mitchell, thank you.
And Bob Mitchell, author.simplesite.com. You'll have all my books there, which are linked up to Amazon.
And we'll talk in July about time travel. Looking
Absolutely.
Forward to it. All right, my website, strangeplanet.ca. Say hello on Twitter, @RichardSerrett. As always, follow the truth.